Our gospel tonight is the familiar story of the birth of Jesus, the telling of the familiar figures of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. Equally familiar is our reading from Isaiah tonight, the great prophet that we hear each Christmas at midnight mass. Particularly those words stick out, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given us. They call him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace." All these titles in the Old Testament were titles given to the king upon his coronation. Isaiah prophesies them here of the final king, the great Messiah that is to come. Isaiah was speaking to a people that knew well their need for a Messiah. They needed a Wonder Counselor, a God Hero, a Father Forever, and a Prince of Peace. To really understand and appreciate the meaning of Christmas, we too have to understand our great need for a Savior, our great need for a Wonder Counselor, a God Hero, a Father Forever, and a Prince of Peace. I'd like to reflect tonight on those four titles of our Lord and Savior, prophesied by Isaiah so long ago, but yet so needed in our world today. For that is the ultimate gift that Emmanuel, God with us, brings at Christmas. To say that Jesus Christ is the Wonder Counselor. If we think today about how individualistic our society has become, our idea that we need to answer to no one, that we make up our own decisions, that we determine what is right and what is wrong for ourselves. There is no objective truth. What we need is a counselor, a wonderful counselor, one who can truly help direct our hearts. They don't want to be completely independent and just doing our own thing. More than anything, we want to know what is the will of God. How do we form our lives to walk in His way? How do we see His light and respond to it? For that we need guidance. We need a counselor. Jesus is that counselor that in the midst of the darkness of our world that gives us so many false signals, so many lies, so many messages that lead us to destruction, so many counselors in our world that lead us in the wrong direction. We need a Wonder Counselor, a counselor that is God, to listen to His word. At Christmas, we recognize Jesus Christ come among us to be our Wonder Counselor. He is also our God Hero. We, in our world today, so much need heroes. What exactly is a hero? I think if we look at the people that we make our heroes today, we see often we elevate sports figures as our heroes. I think a hero is someone who shows forth the best or even transcends what seems to be the limitations of our human nature. A hero is someone who rises above what might be expected. We can all think of the heroes who have proven themselves in war, who march off selflessly to defend our country, and indeed our thoughts and prayers tonight go to those fighting overseas, our heroes this day, who continue to defend our freedom. We think of perhaps our own family members and friends who have been our heroes, our teachers who have taught us the faith, anyone who seems to have gone above and beyond, that sticks out as someone who is just a little cut above, that helps us see the right path. Those are our heroes. In our desperation and perhaps for lack of finding heroes in our day, we place them elsewhere in sports or media superstars or actors and actresses. Tonight we have a different image. We have the beautiful image of the God Hero. Jesus Christ, more than anyone, fulfills this image of the hero. For if anyone transcended human nature and showed forth the best of what humans can be, it was Jesus. For indeed, though he was fully God, he was fully one of us. And that is what we celebrate on this night, that God became man. Therefore, Jesus shows us what we are capable of. We see him as a little baby this night, but indeed we have his whole life in mind, and we recognize in him our hero, our God hero, who saves us, who rescues us as heroes so often do. And he shows us the way and gives us inspiration. That's what heroes do. And so we are thankful today for Jesus, our God hero. He's also Father forever, Almighty Father, Everlasting Father. When you go to an Eastern Christian church, you will find icons of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity. But curiously, you will not find an icon of God the Father. There are no visual depictions of the Father. I asked an Eastern priest one time, why is that? He said, because God the Father, we don't know what he looks like. If you want to see what God the Father looks like, there he is. And he pointed to the icon of Christ. That is God incarnate. God became man, and that man is Jesus. If you want to know what God the Father looks like, we look at Jesus. As Jesus so often reminded us, the Father and I are one. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. If there was, you know, a scripture passage that most sticks out for me in this regard, it's my middle name is Philip, and I love the passage in the gospel in which Philip is confused about this same issue, and he asks Jesus, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus says, you know, Philip, have I been with you all this time and still you do not understand? He who sees me sees the Father. God wants us not to see him merely as some distant power, as is so in vogue in our day today, to say, well, I'm spiritual, but not religious. I believe in some higher being, some distant power that set the whole world in motion and maybe has little to do with it now. Something very different is celebrated in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. For when God became man, he forever entered into our human condition. And he shows us the Father's love, that he is not merely some distant power, but in Jesus Christ, born for us at Christmas, God is one of us. He is Emmanuel. He shows us what the Father's love is. He is of the Father's love begotten. He is born for us today to show us that we are in a relationship with God, not merely some distant impersonal power, but a Father who loves us. How fitting it is at Christmas that we see in our manger scenes the great image of Joseph, the earthly foster father of Jesus. We have beautiful images of the Holy Family. Jesus shows us the love of the Father. Christmas is indeed a feast of the family and of family love. More than anything, I think, in our world today, we need saving for our families. This is what our hero comes to provide saving from, to save our families. Show us the Father, Philip demands. Jesus Christ is Father forever, Almighty and Everlasting Father. He shows us the perfection of what the Father's love is, despite all the imperfection in our families that we see around us. He alone can save our families. So there too, we need this Savior. Finally, God, Jesus Christ, born for us, is Prince of Peace. If there is one thing that we think of at Christmas more than anything, perhaps it is peace. We pray for peace on this holy night. We pray for peace around the world. We perhaps fittingly recognize, though, that we will never really have lasting peace in this world As much as we pray for that and hope for that, even in the land of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, there's never really been peace. Throughout Jesus' life, before and after, most of that little piece of earth has been fought over and fought over again. And indeed, most of human history is fraught with war and violence and lack of peace. We need a Prince of Peace. And Jesus is the answer to that prayer, but perhaps not in the way we would expect. For the peace that Jesus gives is not any peace that the world can give. Rather, he gives us the peace of knowing that perhaps even in the midst of the violence and war, he gives us a peace that surpasses all that. The peace of knowing that this is not all there is. God became man that we might become what he is, that we might be with him forever in heaven. That is a peace which no one can take from us. No situation, whether we are unemployed, have lost our job, whether we have experienced the death of family members and friends, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in or we find our world in at this Christmas, Jesus is our Prince of Peace, and he will give us that peace. When I was able to be in Bethlehem for Christmas, for a couple months actually, and I stayed there, I went to the shepherd's fields. And I was there about evening as the sun was going down, and I marked as I looked out over those fields to think, what would it have been like to be there on that Christmas night? When the angels come, they proclaim news of great joy, and they sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." There was not earthly peace when Jesus was born, not for him or his family or even the world, but the angels speak of peace. Peace brought from heaven. And that is what our Prince of Peace brings us tonight. Perhaps it is fitting that we gather on a night in which the weather rages around us and the world outside. The entrance to the church is always seen as a great transposition from the exterior world of chaos into the peace and safety of God's holy sanctuary. So tonight, surrounded by these symbols of chaos without and peace within, we gather in this holy light of Christmas to give thanks for the birth of Emmanuel, God with us, who is our Wonder Counselor, our God Hero, our Father forever, and our Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, God with us, now and forever. Glory to him, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.